Hi guys, this is your pal Drew. This afternoon I'm talking to Randy McDowell and Dale Williams. Yeah. Two actors, writers, comedians, people who need work. Let's jump in here. And both of you guys worked for me for about a week last summer, 2004.
It was more like 15 minutes.
It was 15 minutes. Yeah. Acted for me for a little thing that I had at the Atlanta Film Festival. Since then, I found out that they are actually comedians and have a troupe that's called, what's the name of it?
N2O.
N2O. N2O what?
Nitrous oxide.
Nitrous oxide, I think, yeah.
Laughing gas productions, laughing gas.
How long have you guys known each other?
8 years.
8 years. How'd
more
you
than
meet?
That. Is it more than that?
Eight
years.
Where did you meet? And when did you get together as a comedy troupe?
He popped a pert with a shit in juvie, and I was three cells down.
I think it was at school.
At college.
I think.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of drugs?
A lot of drugs.
Mostly like Tylenol, I understand.
Pam?
PM. Tylenol, yeah. PM. Yeah. I thought you were like spraying Pam, like direct spraying. Because that's not really a drug. That's a... It's a
aerosol?
Softening agent.
Well, I worked in a pharmacy, and I was his lifeline. Those of you listening in dial-up, probably just hearing our names. Those on DSL, you already know what we're going to say in 5 minutes. So
let us know, because we're really wanting to get out of here. We got stuff to do.
Yeah. This basement's really stuffy.
All right. What are you doing now, Dale?
Right now, I'm trying to make money so I can get my headshots done. Cause, you know,
looks like I would know somebody out there who would want to do headshots for Dale so they could get a little plug on the website.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Okay. We travel as a team, and we do like sometimes we do churches and camps, and we got a lot of that going on this summer.
I understand you did a commercial recently.
Yeah, up in South Carolina.
What was it?
For Spartanburg Hospital Systems.
It was about to. You only got to see me from my nose up, but it was beautiful.
It's through Mad Monkey Productions out of Columbia.
Yeah.
South Carolina.
What were you? Were you a Mad Monkey? Were you a
no
a
Mad
doctor?
Monkeys.
Were you a doctor?
No, I wasn't a doctor. I was a stock boy at a grocery store.
Uh huh. Because
that's where the commercial is mostly based at.
All their hospitals are in grocery stores.
I guess so. To them. Yeah. I think somebody got hurt. Like at the grocery store.
So if you're in our viewing audience in Spartanburg area, you might catch him on TV. Yeah. Outside of Spartanburg, no shot.
No. And it's. I understand you have beautiful eyes. I can't see him right now because of the dark shades.
Yes, I know.
He wears sunglasses all the time.
It was a rough night last night.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, when you're famous.
You might actually be able to catch his commercial on GoMadMonkey.com. That's their website. Sometimes they put them on there after they make them. But
oh, really?
That would
be great.
I don't know that for sure.
So, what have you been up to?
Just stay on the wagon.
One day at a time, my friend.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
The chuck wagon.
It's still
different. Anyway, I've just got done wrapping Elvis the miniseries through CBS, and I play the role of Gene Smith, his first cousin. And that'll be on your CBS affiliate May 8th and 11th.
CBS.
Check your local listings.
The CBS?
Canadian Broadcasting System out of Ottawa. That's great.
Love them.
About 12,000 viewers. It's going to win a... What's the equivalent of an Emmy in Canada?
The Canadian Emmy?
It's the Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they have the Canadian Emmy, I think.
Oh, that what's that called?
Canadian Emmy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The Crimmy?
The Crimmy.
Sorry, my Canadian friends.
Yes, those are staying in Canada. Thank you. We know Santa Claus is either Canadian or communist, well, so they wear red and white.
We just lost some more audience. That's okay. It means that this happens faster for more people.
We're actually, back to what you asked about us together, we're actually working on a radio show out of Ottawa, Toronto, called Daily Adventures. Could possibly be changed the name to Compassion Canada and Compassion Kids, which is like, it's like World Vision or like the, you know, like a, what do you call those things over there? Where you sponsor a child?
Yeah, sponsor a child.
In another country other than
not
the
in
US
Canada.
Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
However, due to the new exchange rate, it probably would be good to sponsor a kid in Canada. $1 here can be like 40. Anyway, we wrote 37 episodes last year for the show called Daily Adventures. We play the roles of... Dale plays...
Slider, who's a...
A fat Hispanic kid.
Fat Hispanic kid.
And what is the character you play?
Dozer. He sleeps all the time.
Sits in class.
Do something in Dozer's voice. Give me a Dozer.
Yeah. I'm... fall asleep.
That's dope. It takes place much like Fat Albert. It's in a school, kind of in a school though, kind of more like Saved by the Bell, but younger kids. And it's kind of like the Fat Albert model.
Instead of a junkyard, they live on a baseball field, I think.
I like that.
Yeah. Christian Daly's the lead, and then he plays Dozier and Slider, and I play Rocky and Janitor Mullet. And it's.
I want to hear about Janitor Mullet. How does Janitor Mullet?
Janitor talk? Mullet is the local janitor who he always comes in kind of for the moral of the story, and the principal always says we can learn a lot from Janitor Mullet, but none of the kids have any idea what he's talking about.
Can you give
for example,
bit?
Have Slider ask Janitor Mullet a question.
Oh man, I've been Slider a long time.
Who Dozier then?
All right, Janitor Mullet. I was wondering if you could tell me about life.
Yeah, some old nigga more can say. I tell you what, some old nigga more day, some old nigga don't know no TV. Moulay.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of every time he says something, he always says Moulay because his last name is French. It's Moulay, not Mullet. But everybody gets it wrong. And for our French Canadians in Quebec, parlez-vous
français?
Sure. Are they still part of the country, or did they secede like they're?
No, they're still part of the country.
They're doing timeshares, actually, I understand.
That's good.
It's working out for them financially.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we will be possibly writing a pilot television animation for them, Compassion Kids Through Daily Adventures, and they will be trying to get it picked up by Chelsea Road Productions up there as a cartoon series. They've already got 13 episodes that they're interested in purchasing, but they've got to pitch it for financial backing at this time.
So. Yeah, I know. The lady that does Shaolin Showdown. So, I don't think she can help you.
No, I don't think
I'll send her to listen to this
We're just the writers and the voices. We're not behind the organization. That's a guy out of Canada by the name of Kevin Bloodworth.
Kevin Bloodworth? I don't know.
DailyAdventures.org.
DailyAdventures.org. Thanks, kids. Now we're going to move on to. I want to come back to Elvis in a little while, yeah. but I want to find out about something you did this past year called Dixie County Line. I got that right, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Dixie County Line was a little short film that you guys shot with. Who was your director?
Director was Brandon McCormick out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Brandon is also the guy who shot the short that was called The Perfect Pitch.
No, The Perfect Proposal.
Perfect Proposal, which was very, very neat.
Well, thank you. It won an award in South Carolina last year for best short film.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that, and it was fun because was there any dialogue at all in the film?
All the music.
Yeah, translate very well to film festivals.
Especially in foreign markets.
Yeah, you know, how popular shorts are
in Canada,
foreign markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, make a lot of money on shorts.
Yeah, our film was huge in the Czech Republic. We're still raking in the crowns from that one.
Mm-hmm. Where do you keep those?
The crowns? No, you know, it's 33 to the dollar, so, you know.
Dixie County Line was a very, very fun little homage to all Southern films. Had a little bit of feel of Dukes of Hazzard, little Smokey and the Bandit, what would you say? No gator. I didn't see any gator happening in that. Sharky's Machine? No. Yeah. No Sharky's Machine.
No.
No Texas Chainsaw.
No. No Smokey and the Bandit too.
No, we stayed away from that one. I think there was a little bit of Caddyshack 4 in there, though.
Yeah, I don't know how you worked that in, but it was.
But we did. It
was subtle.
Yeah.
So Dixie County Line was a story of a character named Scotch Law, who is he's not really retired. He's kind of an ostracized stuntman who grew up in the South, grew up in a little town in Alabama called
Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
A county seat for Dixie County.
There you go. Yeah. Dixie and Dixie County in Alabama. Went out to L.A., became a stuntman, as it's very easy to do. You guys listening out there, all my stuntman friends will attest to this. You go out there and you sign up and you can immediately begin doing stunts. It's probably the easiest way to get into filmmaking. So the character Scotch Law went and did that for a while, then came back to Dixie County, and hijinks ensue because of his great skill at stunting.
Something, or just loose cannon, you know. His dad was formerly a sheriff in the county.
So tell me about what happened with Dixie County as far as after it was produced and you had it made, and what might be happening with it in the future.
Well, that's a good question. We're still trying to figure that out ourselves. We premiered it in Atlanta on December 2nd at the Dixie Film Festival. We finaled the festival with our film. We packaged it on DVD for other festivals. We've already screened in Tupelo, Mississippi. Actually, Tupelo is this coming week, or 2 weeks from now. We've already screened in Jackson, Mississippi, Lynchburg, Virginia, Carnesville, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And we will be attempting to get it picked up as either a television series or as a full-length movie. We already have a script we're trying to...
Or hopefully both, right?
Or both.
Why not? You have to leverage your power, your star power, and having played Elvis's twin double cousin.
Twin double cousin, third removed from his aunt's side.
You know.
Who wasn't actually related, but he lived in Canada.
Regardless of what you've heard, people do watch CBS, and people will be seeing you in that, and they're going to want to know what you're doing next.
Well, I mean, it's about Elvis.
I mean, come on.
It's Elvis Presley, the biggest American icon ever.
Elvis. You know how many people are tuning in now?
Yeah, it's like, put that on the Google, blog that.
All you got to do is say Elvis.
Elvis.
And then, like, so many people are like, oh, somebody just said Elvis somewhere.
Randy McDowell, Elvis. Elvis, Randy McDowell. Dale Williams, Elvis, 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 Dale Williams, Randy McDowell, Elvis.
Not yet, anyway. Or I'm in the back.
Put the two other words to Google us. Academy Award. Okay.
Not a Canatomy Award.
No, that's a Canadian version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup.
It's a little small man with a little burlap hat.
There goes some more with the listeners.
Actually, I only have Canadians come to my site. Nobody's listening anymore.
DrewBrobs.ca, right?
It is. C-A dot dot dot.
And for our Newfoundland listeners.
So I've actually done a little markup there of the your script that's laying on the floor there behind you.
Yes. In fact, this week we've actually sent it out to you and all of our friends, both of them. We sent out to get, you know, critique, because we want to make sure that if we start pitching this to people, that we can have the best package possible. So we're actually looking at doing that this week and next week. I'm actually going to be in L.A. at the end of this week, and I'm hoping that I can get some connections out there to put this script in the right people's hands.
Yeah, I understand.
So if you're listening in L.A. and you know people, give me a call.
Pretty nicely done.
Thank you.
They don't listen either.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on talk radio again.
It is talk radio. Except
it's on the internet.
You could cuss, but I'd prefer you not.
Sweet.
Man.
That's okay. So Elvis, tell me what it's like working with Elvis.
I prefer to be called E, as he did. I'm sorry.
You didn't play E?
No, I didn't play E. I played Little E.
Who played E?
Who played E? Elvis Presley? I was Johnny Rhys-Meyers, Irish-born actor from County Cork, Ireland. He's also the same area that...
he was the coach in Bennett, like Beckham.
Yeah, coach. But he's also...
Really?
Colin Farrell's.
I didn't see that. But I wanted to see that. I was invited to see that.
It was good.
You need to watch it. It's good.
Yeah. He's same county as Colin Farrell.
Oh, really? Yeah, does he smoke and cuss like him?
I'd rather not say.
Okay.
No, Johnny was great to work with. He's in Vanity Fair. He's in the Alexander film. He just finished the Woody Allen some new summer project. I think it's coming out. I don't know the name of that. He did A Lion in Winter and won some awards. He won some Emmys.
Really?
Yeah. He worked with I think that was Glenn Close, wasn't it? She thanked him, I think, at the Emmys this past year for being in it.
Glenn started thinking a lot of people. People are worried about her. That's not out there yet. But she's doing a lot of thank yous.
Well, that'll ruin her career.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No, we'll see.
You know,
101 Dalmatians and now this. But yeah, Johnny was awesome. He did a great job as Elvis, and I can't wait to see him.
When does the film come out?
May 8th at 8 p.m. is part one. It premieres.
8 p.m. Eastern
Standard Time, CBS affiliate. And then I think it's actually 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, but it's different for Central Mountain. But it's also coming on part two is Wednesday, May 11th at 8 p.m., I believe.
Right.
Or 7 p.m. 7 p.m. May 11th. And I'm probably wrong on both of these. And then May 13th is the special interviews with Lisa Marie and Priscilla, which will be that Friday night.
I understand that they're very friendly people.
Lisa Marie and Priscilla?
Yeah.
Never had the pleasure of meeting them. They will be being interviewed about growing up and living with Elvis, and they have a book and a CD that's going to be coming out at the same time called Elvis by the Presleys.
A book about Elvis. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a new thing, new concept. So we're excited about that.
Well, it seems that both of you guys are really enjoy doing material that is Southern-based. And, you know, it's at some point I anticipate seeing you up on stage with somebody like Jeff Foxworthy or those guys. I'm sure that would be a lot of fun.
Well, we're not limiting ourselves to any region, but it seems like recently the two things we've done have been Southern.
Can you do other things?
Absolutely.
Do you have accents you can do? Let me hear you do something else. Hopefully those of you listening at home understand that...
There's Slider.
I'll do my best, okay? I'm sorry.
Oh, man, I've got a friend that's just going to kill you if he ever meets you.
Annoying.
That's slight.
Daniel, I'll get you his home address, and you and the boys can go by and visit.
But also, right now, we're currently working on putting together a screenplay based on the life of Rick Stanley, who's a close friend of ours, and it kind of parallels off the Elvis story.
Tell me about Rick Stanley, because I've heard you mention his name.
I'll let Dale probably give you a little background on him.
Rick Stanley is the, I guess you can say, a stepbrother to Elvis. He was, his mom married Vernon Presley. Way back in the day,
1958.
Yeah, 1958.
I think it was 3 months or 6 months after Gladys, Elvis's mother, passed away. He remarried.
Right.
Married Rick's mother, so. Dee Stanley.
And they brought Rick and his brothers to Graceland, and that's when they first met Elvis. And
which could have potentially been just a terrible, terrible
It could have been, but
because it wasn't Michael Jackson. See, okay. Elvis Presley.
Right.
A little mistake there.
And
that was Graceland, not Neverland.
Elvis really would have rolled over in his grave.
Yeah.
He would have known.
But Rick was 6 years old, I believe, when they pulled him to Graceland, and he had gone from living with nothing and being beat by his biological father to moving into everything he could ever dreamed of.
Yeah. So, I think they met Elvis that night, and then the next morning, Elvis told whoever to go out and get toys.
Well, actually, Memphis Mafia went out that night and opened. They got the department stores opened up in town. They bought a bunch of toys, three of every kind, because Rick had two brothers. And then when they woke up, they walked out and they just saw the yard full of three of every kind of toy you can ever imagine.
That's awesome.
And Elvis slept usually all day long.
Right.
And he usually got about 3 in the afternoon. And they said that for once he woke up really early to make sure he could see their expressions when.
That's really cool.
I mean,
that's probably a story. You know, there's so many stories about Elvis that aren't out there.
Well,
so it would be interesting to see Elvis from the point of view of a half brother.
Well, Rick's point of view is so different than what you see in most media because Elvis was like a father to him. Even though he was 19 years older and he was a stepbrother, he treated him like a father would, and he'd spoil him rotten, of course. And so he always took care of Rick. He bailed him out of jail when he got arrested for drugs and stuff like that. And so he always speaks highly of Elvis. He loves him. You know, never spoke negative about him, which is very rare because most people in Elvis's life all turned on him eventually.
It's kind of the American tradition.
Absolutely.
Build him up, knock him down, and then build him up again.
All he does is build him up. That's the whole thing.
That's all he did.
Every time we've talked to him, he's built him up.
Because he means so much to him. He's such a part of his life.
Yeah, and he's really probably not receiving any kind of, great dividends out of it.
Absolutely not. He's not even in the will. 3 months before Elvis died, I think it was, or 6 months before he died, Elvis took everybody out of the will and gave it all to Lisa Marie. And then 6 months later, he passed away. But what we're doing is we're taking his life story and turning it into a made-for-television screenplay based on his time with Elvis. The film will be mainly Elvis Presley, but it'll be how he was affected, kind of a father-son relationship between the two. Because Vernon was actually a stepfather, but he was around Elvis more than he was Vernon.
Sure. Well, that'll be really interesting. I hope that I hope you're able to put together the screenplay, and I hope that you're able to find some backing for it or find some network interest if it's going to be a television.
So far, I think this is the most viable thing that we have, because I think that it was optioned a few years ago by a company, and nobody ever did anything with it. So, but the options run out, so we're going to jump on board with this and hopefully get something made. I mean, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's what DrewProps.com is all about, except for maybe the drugs.
What's really cool is because Rick's a really good friend of mine. I've heard a lot of stories about Elvis that a lot of people have heard, so that's really cool. So that's what
the hangnail story.
Well,
that was a dozer.
Hangnail.
We'll do that off tape.
he gave cars away to people all the time. Elvis did.
Like that, if somebody was looking in a window at a car dealership, he'd be like, buy him a car.
Man, I wish Elvis was alive today and listening to this right now and said, hey, those three guys need cars.
Maybe he is.
Yeah, Elvis is everywhere.
Yeah, whatever.
Elvis is everything.
He owns the R. Thomas across the street.
Speaking of never saying anything negative, Rick, never saying anything negative about Elvis, my character in the miniseries in real life also was one of his closest comrades. He never said anything negative, never turned on him.
Well, that's terrific.
Because they were like brothers.
Give us a line from your character, something you can remember that you said, and deliver it for this. So this is like a preview. This is like Letterman's night. Dave, you don't even have this. You listen to me, Letterman? No, you're not.
I know. Which one are you to do?
Which one is that one?
The one about, not Lisa, but the one about Priscilla.
Oh, yeah. If you watch the commercials, in every commercial, he brings her in this red dress, and he goes, hey, everybody, this is Priscilla. And the whole movie, well, not the whole movie, but in the few scenes I'm in, I'm always Googling her and looking at, not Googling her like the website, but yeah. You get the idea.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking her up and down and everything and getting kind of stepping in his way, and he's always pushing me away. So in that scene, she says, he says, "Hey, everybody, this is Priscilla," and I put my pool cue down and playing pool, and I go, "Oh, girl, Elvis, she sure is one pretty." And a lot of my dialogue in the latter part of the movie is reversed. The words are reversed because they had a...
Like Yoda?
Much like Yoda, but not at all like it. They had a kind of a hidden language, Elvis and a couple of his like close brothers did, and our close friends, and they reversed like certain words and sentences to throw people off, but they knew what they were talking about with each other.
Yeah, like Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Yoda. In fact, I think my character looks a lot like Yoda.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I like the ears.
But they're going to recolor it, you know, post-production, and it'll look a lot different.
Okay.
I'll look like a hillbilly.
Yeah. Did they film everything in front of a green screen?
Yeah, the whole movie is in front of a green screen.
For real.
It's all CG.
That's what I understand, you know? They've torn down all the old sets in L.A. Mm-hmm. Everything's computer. Kids, the computers are where you want to go.
Yeah,
get into computers.
IT, Sin City, you know.
Can't get a date, get into IT.
We're going to be keeping an eye out for that Elvis miniseries on NBC, CBS. Sorry. Just testing you guys.
Hey, man.
You let it roll.
CBS.com, trailers and pictures.
Guys, could we end it with a little bit of comedy routine? Can you give us something and take us out with that? Apparently not.
You can cut this middle section.
I'm cutting out the middle section.
The whole interview will be about 25 seconds. If you enjoy that, you'll hate the rest.
It'll just be slurs against Canadians.
Yeah. Sorry. I got kicked out of Canada for that exact reason back in 1996. Too many Canadian dudes.
Yeah.
Word of Life Canada.
Oh, that's right.
All right, let's see if I can remember the lines first here. Hold on. Soldier, you might just be the best soldier in the world, but first of all, I'm going to get you a new uniform because you look like a redneck.
I'm a redneck woman. I ain't no high-class gal.
Soldier, I'm going to forget you just said that.
Me too, sir.
Soldier, that song just pulled you 3 days of kitchen patrol.
Yeah.
Soldier, no food. Left face. Left face. I said left face. Oh, soldier, I'm going to get you. Never done it on a radio.
Well, it was fun. It was fun just seeing y'all sit there waiting.
Well, he's mouthing my lines.
I saw him feeding you.
Was I?
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying.
You were mouthing my
lines. You gave
lines.
Him, like, the hint for the butt.
Well, as you're, like, over there, you're mouthing my lines.
I didn't know that.
You mouthed my lines.
Dude, that's so sad. We were doing Batman and Robin. We've done it, like, for 8 years now, and I'll be on stage, and I'll look over at him, and I'll be going... I'm like, what are you doing?
And he does Joe Sargent the same way.
I didn't realize that.
Wait, you want to do both of them?
Huh?
You want to do both of them? You just want to put them both on?
We did that a few weeks ago for the first time in 8 years. We switched characters as Batman and Robin, and he came out in that my little red shirt with gut hanging out and my tight green. Everything on me was so baggy. I was saying my lines as Robin.
That was hysterical.
It was crazy.
It
was fun.
It's fun to mix it up.
It was very fun.
Well, here, let's do the... very nice.
Fuck her out.
Well, let's do the... All right, guys. That was Randy McDowell and Dale Williams, two actors who are not very talented but are very willing to learn. We're hoping that you will hire them to stock your shelves or mow your lawns.
Or date your daughters.
Date your daughters. And they mean multiple at the same time dating of your daughters.
Nice.
How many? Three?
Three or four.
Three or four. So,
just a date, nothing more.
Let's get your website stuff out there so they can go find out more about you too. So
you
they will leave my website alone.
Absolutely, drewprops.com, over 3 visitors a month.
I think www.n2om.com.
Slow down and do that again slowly. Is it a regular O or zero O?
It's the zero.
Letter O.
It's the letter O, see? Uh-huh.
Small N, capital people. 2, yeah. Small O, small N.
www.n2o2.com.
In Army Phonetics, that would be Nancy. N2O. That'd be Nancy 2-9er.
Small
Oscar
N.
Oscar Mary. God, Charlie Oscar Meyer.
The number 2, a small O, a small M.
Nobody's ever going there.
Yeah.
They can actually link to it through my website, www.randymcdowell.com. And there's a link to our comedy site on that site.
What about also, the Dixie...
DixieCountyLine.com is for our short film.
Right.
And then DixieFilmFest.com is through the festival, which will be October 14th.
If you want to submit a film.
Yeah, get the plug in there real quick.
October 14th and 15th, 2005, the Dixie Film Festival, second annual, being held in downtown Atlanta. You can submit to January 30th. Excuse me, you can submit to July 31st.
Thanks, guys. Your pal, Drew. See you next time. Bye bye.
Canada! Hey!